Maseches Yuma, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, until Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. The focus of Maseches Yuma is, of course, the day of Yom Kippur, and the first 7 out of 8 parakim focus on the service which was done in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. It was pretty much all done by the Kohen Gadol, with the exception of a couple of things. And then in the final perek, the 8th perek, the other aspects of Yom Kippur are discussed, such as not eating and drinking, doing tshuva on Yom Kippur, and the various other aspects of Yom Kippur, which apply even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and even nowadays. The actual word Yuma is Aramaic for the word Yom, day, so it refers to the unique day of the year, and the first 7 parakim really take us through, in order, what was done throughout Yom Kippur, and the first Mishnah begins, actually, Shivas Yomim Kodim Purim, 7 days before Yom Kippur, what preparations were done for the Yom Kippur service. So Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mebisai, they would separate the Kohen Gadol from his house, and he moves into the Lishkas Palhedrin, a particular chamber known as Lishkas Palhedrin in the Beis HaMikdash, and he spends the week over there. And this is in order that he doesn't have any marital relations with his wife during the week before Yom Kippur, because his wife periodically becomes a Nida, which is a woman who becomes Tomei during certain days of each month. And the halacha is that if somebody has marital relations with a Nida, then he becomes Tomei for 7 days. It's a very severe form of Tumah. And of course, if the Kohen Gadol is Tomei on Yom Kippur, then he cannot perform the service of the Beis HaMikdash. And that is certainly not an ideal situation, where we would need to get a replacement Kohen Gadol to do it instead of him. And so to avoid such a situation, he moves into the Lishkas Palhedrin, which firstly accomplishes this, that he will not have relations with his wife. And secondly, it means that he can generally be more careful about remaining pure. Being in the Beis HaMikdash means that he will have less of a chance of becoming Tomei and not being able to perform the Yom Kippur service. Now, even so, there is still a danger that he might become Tomei, and therefore, Maskinin LeKohen Acher Tachtov, we fix for him another Kohen in his place, Shema Ye'er Abay Pasul, in case a particular invalidation will occur to him, something like him becoming Tomei, which would invalidate him from performing the Yom Kippur service. And the Gemara explains that this other Kohen was the Skan Kohen Gadol, the deputy Kohen Gadol, who in a case where the real Kohen Gadol wouldn't be able to perform the Yom Kippur service on Yom Kippur, he would do it instead of him. Now, this replacement Kohen Gadol does not need to live in the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days before. We are less strict with him, and we don't have that concern that he might end up having relations with his wife when she's a Nida. And the truth is, the fact that the real Kohen Gadol has to separate from his wife for 7 days is actually learnt from a posuk. And this posuk only spoke about the real Kohen Gadol, and so this replacement Kohen Gadol does not need to separate from his wife for 7 days, but of course he does need to be very careful about not becoming Tomei. Rabbi Huda says, Af isha acheres maskinin lei, we also fix for the Kohen Gadol another wife, and he needs to marry another wife before Yom Kippur, Shema Thomas Ishtoy, in case his other wife dies. Shenema, as the posuk says, V'chiper ba'adoyu v'ad beisoy, the Kohen Gadol atones on his behalf and on behalf of his household, and beisoy zo ishtoy, his household, refers to his wife. That's learned from Pesukim, that the word bias over here refers to one's wife. And so we see that a condition which must be met for the Kohen Gadol to perform the service is that he has a wife to atone for. So if his wife dies, let's say on Yom Kippur, then we would run into a problem. And so he needs to marry another wife. Now, the truth is, there's another problem, because the word the Torah says, V'chimei ba'adu v'ad beisoy, he will atone on his behalf and on behalf of his household. And it says that in the singular, implying that he can only have one wife on Yom Kippur. So how would it help to now marry a second wife? So the Gemara explains that he also, after marrying the second wife, divorces both of the women on condition. So he would divorce the second wife on condition that his first wife doesn't die before the end of Yom Kippur. But now, if it turns out that his first wife does end up dying on Yom Kippur, so for the first half of Yom Kippur, he had two wives, and that is a problem, and therefore he also needs to divorce the first wife on condition that she performs a particular act. And then, if it turns out that his first wife does indeed die on Yom Kippur, then the Kohen Gadol should perform that act, so that it turns out that retroactively his first wife was divorced from before Yom Kippur. And that way he was only married to the second wife on Yom Kippur, so either way he would only have one wife over Yom Kippur, in order to fulfill that pasuk. Omulai, the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, Im Kain, if so, if you need to separate another wife for the Kohen Gadol and be worried that she might die, so in Adavar Soif, there's no end to the matter. You should also separate for the Kohen Gadol another 10 women, in case they'll all end up dying. You don't need to start worrying for these far-off situations that his wife might die, and therefore you do not need to separate another wife for him. However, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that one does need to be concerned that his wife will die, but it's enough to separate only one woman, because to be concerned that two women will die, that is already far-fetched, and one does not need to be concerned that this new wife which he marries will also die.